And of course, our special guest, Candace Talmadge, as we talk about her work, the Afterlife Healing Circle. We're going to take your phone calls as well as continuing our discussion with her right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Candace Talmadge with us, and the book, The Afterlife Healing Circle. She also wrote this with Jana Simmons. I always like to get the other author in too, Candace. They never get credit, but you've got Jana right on that cover too, don't you?
Yes. Well, as I always tell people, Jana provided the vegetables and I made it into soup. So.
That's what a team partnership is all about. What are some of your favorite stories in the book, The Afterlife Healing Circle?
Well, there's some interesting things. I mean, I love all of them. I mean, when I did some research for this book and asked people, have you ever been contacted by the deceased or have you ever been contacted by a child who wasn't yet born, I was just blown away at the stuff that came across my desk in response to that. This is... You know, it seems to be very, very common to be either contacted by someone who has died or to be contacted by a child who's not yet born. And one of the ones that really was funny was the one who adopted a child, but the child contacted them a long time before they even knew what gender the child would be. The husband and wife both had a dream in which they heard, Olivia is coming. And sure enough, it was a couple of months later or sometime later, the adoption agency said, hey, we have a little baby girl for you. What do you want to name her? And in unison, they said, Olivia.
Fewer and fewer millennials are beginning to believe in God. They believe in the afterlife, but that belief system in God is kind of waning. Is that a dangerous trend?
I don't think so, because what I really, you know, from reading through just sort of what they asked and what the survey, you know, questions that they asked, it isn't so much that they don't believe in God. They are rejecting traditional religious limitations and interpretations of what God is and what God means to us, all right? But they are embracing an afterlife because there is an afterlife movement. And it's what all these personal testimonies and what this research is doing is a huge shift in consciousness and perspective on what this life means and what could possibly either go before it or come after it. All right? So I don't, you know, it just drove me crazy because in one article, one of the psychologists involved was quoted as saying, well, this lack of belief in God shows that millennials are entitled, which I thought was the most ridiculous interpretation of this material. It's not that they're entitled. It's that they are being affected by all of what they're hearing about people surviving death and saying, look, this is what I experienced when I was supposedly dead. You know, I went somewhere. I saw something. I heard things. That is really profoundly affecting not only the millennials, but everybody in this society.
I've always said, what if we're wrong? What if our belief system about the afterlife is just totally wrong and it doesn't exist? Well, you know what? Bottom line is, if it doesn't exist and we die, we're not going to know about it or care about it.
Well, that's true. Okay, so...
But, but if it is real, we'll know about that too.
We'll know about that too, and I always think that, again, this goes back to free will. People really are free to believe what they want to believe, all right? Because we do have free will that is free, not limited as some religions would argue. You can believe what you want to believe, and what is generally, you know, I see is that people who have some sort of, have done some thinking and some research and some, you know, discussion about an afterlife or about, you know, death or the meaning of life, they're generally a little bit more at ease than people who go into denial and don't want to talk about it. That's not a really healthy response. the healthy response is to explore in whatever way suits you and whatever path suits you. I don't advocate any other path. I mean, I sort of seem to fall into it myself, but that's sort of the soul's purpose. I mean, the soul will find a way. You can kick and scream all you want, but the soul will lead you to where the soul desires you to go. All right? And I found that the path of least resistance generally is a lot more pleasant than kicking and screaming. But that's just been my experience.
Do you think science one day will find these answers that many of us think we already know?
Well, I think the scientific method is too limited as it currently exists right now, because mm-hmm. that method exists to disprove a theory. All right? You set up a theory and you test it. And if the theory survives the test, then it's survived the test. But the scientific method doesn't, quote unquote, prove anything. It just exists to disprove a theory. That it's also limited to the material, although they're desperately, you know, a lot of people are really trying hard to expand that and try to use material methods to explore the non-material. But that's the issue. Unless and until scientists embrace the emotional and spiritual half of our being, they'll never get anywhere with the questions that are important in life. And those questions are, does our existence have any meaning? What happens when we die? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Why bother? You know, those are the questions that count. And those, science is too limited as it is practiced now to really dig in and get some insights into that. They can sort of work around it, but they can't really go to the heart of the matter.
All right, back to the phones. Now we go. Let's go to Rich in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Hey, Rich, know your area well. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George. My wife and I and our youngest son lost our oldest boy in 13. He was 31 at the time he passed, of a prescription drug overdose. Losing a child, I think, has to be the hardest thing in the world to ever do.
No question about that.
And is there just a way that you can get past this, because it never goes away?
This grief, Candace, it stays in you forever, doesn't it?
It stays in you forever, but it can be, shall we say, the anguish can be lessened.
How do you
do that? Well, there are a number of ways to do that, but I assume that first off, you have to be at some level angry at your boy, all right? Because it seems like it was such a wasteful thing to do. But again, I've known for myself and for my clients that what seems like a tragedy and is on many levels is a tragedy, is also a path that a soul takes. So if I were you, I mean, the Afterlife Healing Circle might help you. But then again, there might just be a way for you. I don't know. Rich, do you do any meditation?
Not deep.
Not deep, but there may be a time when you can just... Is there a place that you like to go where you feel at peace? Do you like to walk out by a lake or by a stream or just in your backyard?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Go there. And just get still. And in your heart, tell your boy everything, all right? Just tell him all of your feelings, all that you've gone through.
As emotional as that'll be.
As emotional as that'll be. It isn't about judging you as a bad parent or judging him as a bad son. It's about letting your heart speak, heart to heart. All right, this is what I do for my clients when we are doing healing. Heart to heart. Just call your boy to you and talk to him. You don't even have to see him. You don't have to feel him. You just have to talk to him, because believe me, he will feel you and hear you, all right? Thought to thought, heart to heart. And know that at 31, he was his own person, and this is no longer about what you may have or may not have done as a parent.
What about the anger, Candace, of, you know, being ticked off with the doctor for prescribing these, the pharmaceutical company for making this stuff? What about anger there? Is that healthy or not?
Well, I think it's kind of misdirected, all right? Doctors prescribe, but that doesn't mean you have to overdose, all right? That's always a choice we make. And drug use is, of course, a form of denial, just like alcoholism and any other addiction or substance abuse. There was some pain that I'm betting he probably came in with that was a lot too difficult for him to deal, so drugs helped mask it. And it's not what you did or didn't do as a parent. But now you have to, for your own sake, Rich, tell your boy everything you feel and let him go.
Get it out. Get it out of the system.
Yeah, because he's in another space now, and I hope that, go ahead.
When you say let it go, that doesn't mean he has to forget him, right?
No, not at all. What you're letting go of is you are acknowledging that he's on his own path and he will be in another space doing whatever it is, exploring whatever it is as he as a soul is going to do.
With the knowledge that that grief of losing a child is going to stay there forever. I mean, that it doesn't go away. You just have to try to go beyond that.
It's the anguish that you want to relieve, all right? Because it's grief, it's anguish, it's anger, it's guilt, it's a whole bunch of things, a whole combination of feelings.
Hope that helps you, Rich. Let's go next to Joe in the Bronx. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
George, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask Candace, now, the communication with those who've passed on, is it generated by our souls, the soul of the one that's passed on, and our own soul? And also, where in the physical body may we believe that the soul resides?
Well, Joe, I'll take your second question first. I believe the soul energy is anchored in what the heart chakra, and the chakra, of course, is an energy center. It's an Eastern concept. But that is an energy center, a focal point of consciousness. I believe soul energy is anchored there. When you get messages from souls, it engages your soul senses. You might get a vision. You might get a voice in the ear or an understanding. You might get a knowing. You might get a feeling. We constantly get those, not just from souls who are no longer in physical bodies, but everybody in this world sends out those kind of messages, all right? We can't help but doing it because we're souls, we exist, we have feelings and beliefs, and we broadcast those. The receptors are literally where we pick up that energy and what form that energy takes. Does it take the visual form, the auditory form, the feeling form, or the knowing form? So it's really soul-to-soul communication. That's how you connect with people at the soul level, whether they have physical bodies or they don't have physical bodies. It doesn't matter. Souls are not as limited as physical bodies.
When people are trying to tap into this other side and they're not getting anywhere, can they try to do it in their dream state?
That is one way to do it, definitely. That's often a good way to start. And again, when you're not getting anywhere, it's because you are trying, all right? Think of an antenna, all right? It just sits there, and by its very nature, it receives signals. That's what it does.
Yep.
Doesn't force it. It doesn't strain at it. Again, the way that our intuitive side works is the absolute opposite of our conscious mental side, all right? We're told to focus and concentrate, to do our arithmetic or to measure something or to write a sentence, all right? That's fine. That's the conscious. But for this emotional unconscious part, we relax and allow and observe the perception that we get, all right? Hey, is it coming as a vision? Is it coming as a knowing, as an understanding, a feeling? If we just relax and allow, that's when we begin to pick up signals.
Since you've been doing this, have you noticed a change in yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very much different. My personality is very different. I used to come across as really, really intense and intimidating, and I didn't want to be that way. And healing some of my issues and recognizing the soul senses and just getting more comfortable in my own skin allows other people to be more comfortable around me. Because, again, people cue off you. They don't know consciously that they're doing it. So if you're not comfortable with yourself, they're not going to be comfortable with you.
No, not at all. Let's go to Patrick in Redondo Beach, California. Patrick, go ahead. You're up with us.
First-time caller, George.
Perfect.
Long-time listener and was driving home from the Laker game, who was wiped out by the Clippers, and Candace was on, and I said, this is something God has intended me to hear.
Perfect.
And that's why I put on 640 radio, because this was meant to be. Candace, love your the fact that you've taken this time to study, to learn, to open up your mind. I can't see you as a intense person. I see such a peace around you. George asked if it had changed you. I would have to say without reservation that I definitely believe it did, because I feel a very strong peace around you. And peace, of course, P-E-A-C-E. I have had a lot of visions in my life since I was a young child. I've five times cancer survivor, my colon,
wow,
my kidney, dermatomyositis, which is a cancer that they have a very hard time finding. They do biopsies from skin. They took a plug off of my arm. It came back as positive for dermatomyositis. Derma is the skin, myo is the muscle, situs is a disease. So what happens is you start developing spots on your skin from enzymes released from the muscles, indicating that there's a cancer somewhere. I went through 6 months, 10 doctors. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a forensic oncologist, a genius of a man, five large monitors on his desk. One of them had my results from tests. One of them had my history from other doctors. One of them had the past surgeries.
Hold on, Patrick. We're going to come back. We're at the break, but I'll have you get into your question when we come back. We shall return in a second with our guest, Candace Thelmadge, as we talk about, of course, the Afterlife Healing Circle and your final calls. Tomorrow on Coast to Coast, Dr. Judy Wood joins us, updating us on her thoughts on what took down those buildings during 9/11, followed by Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Your final phone calls here with Candace Thelmadge. Candace, how do we know that you are or people are contacting the dead? How do we know that's really happening, or that it's not in your vivid imagination?
Well, I believe that even if it is in your vivid imagination, it has its own reality. Again, I can't prove to anyone that we are contacting the dead. But what I know is that what happens when it occurs is that people's anguish is relieved and they feel more hopeful and they can move on, all right? They're not caught in this trap of grief, or they're not still worrying about being a parent. So to me, it's like I'm not really out for quote-unquote objective proof. I'm out to help people heal and be reassured, and that's all I can do. But well, I think it's enough.
All right, let's go back now to Patrick in Redondo Beach, California. Here you go, Patrick. Sorry the break got you, but go ahead. Is he still there? Well, he must have hung up in the meantime. Oh, well. And he didn't have a question. He was had a statement. Let's go to John in Maryland. John, welcome to the program. Go ahead, John.
Oh, hey, George. Hey, Candace. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, today's one of those synchronicity crazy days, and I was just posting some stuff for my band, and one of my old friends said she was interrupted in her dream from one of my old friends who had passed away in high school, excellent musician. So he just wanted to, he came in, she was having a great dream about doing something at work, kind of crazy, she's kind of laughing about it, but she said he came through, just mentioned my name specifically to tell me that everything's okay. And exactly what she said just a minute ago, the hopeful thing and feeling better immediately happened. And because I'm kind of going through something right now myself. And
so this helped.
I honestly stopped thinking completely about 2 or 3 months ago. I just let the universe take over. And it seems to be working. So that message was, I brought tears in my eyes, honestly. But
let's get your thoughts on that, Candace. The fact that he was contacted and it has made him feel better.
And that is a wonderful thing, John. I'm glad to hear that. And again, the so-called dead are very, very aware, especially when they have an emotional connection to a person still in a physical body. They're very aware. They know what's going on. They can feel your feelings. And they try in any way they can. Obviously, it was easier to get through to your friend than it was to you, John. So your friend from high school went to that person and said, look, please tell him. So, again, the dead will find a way, all right? Just as there are many ways to communicate with someone on Earth, there are ways to get to someone even after you've left the physical body or before you come into a physical body. So, again, it's that emotional connection, and it was obviously important to you. So your friend stepped up and did his best, and there you are. That's what communicating with loved ones, that's the importance of it. And I think that the fields of psychology and psychiatry are beginning to acknowledge that after-death communication, whatever form it takes, can be beneficial to the healing process.
Candace, are you a believer in heaven and hell?
I am a believer in expectation creating heavens and hells for us, and I don't think you have to die to live in heaven or in hell, all right? Again, we experience any reality that we're in, whether it's on planet Earth or in another dimension, we always experience it through our own perceptions and expectations. And many people live hell on Earth, other people live heaven on Earth. So we have to me, it's too limited to say that we only go to hell if we die, or we only go to heaven if we die. We can do that without, you know, just where we are, by how we feel about ourselves and what we expect of our lives and our being.
Some people say it's partly cloudy. Other people say it's partly sunny. Same kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and absolutely. And it's very, very deep. It goes beyond just what we think consciously. About how we feel, what we believe at a very deep level.
It's in the wee hours in the morning in New Jersey, and Edward's up in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Edward, thanks for staying with us. Go ahead.
Sorry, I missed the first hour. It's 4:40 in the night here. Most people are asleep at this time.
Yes,
I'm
they
sorry,
are.
I couldn't stay on with the Gold interview.
Well, that's okay.
I wanted to ask you a question. I'm very interested in the subject. So much to ask. how I can communicate with my lost parents, whom I love more than anywhere in the world, and if you can shed light on how we can know our purpose in this life. Why is it that we, if there is a better life in another dimension, why are we wasting so much time in this one, in a dimension of just social isolation, where if you have any kind of a higher mind, you are a social oddity and ostracized? And also, I have a motto, eternity begins with better living today. Where I am in New Jersey, I am the only one who believes in that.
Well, I'm not sure if you're the only one, Edward, but that's a rarity to be sure. First of all, how do you reach like your dead parents?
Again, I would say go to where you are comfortable and think about them and speak to them. They will hear you. All right? You may not be aware of, but if you become still and receptive, you might be open. You can also ask them to send you a sign that will mean something to you, and that has also helped people. And Edward, I would also say that in terms of social ostracism, what other people think about you is none of your business, and what you think of them is none of their business. In other words, you can only feel as isolated and ostracized as you allow other people to make you feel isolated and ostracized. I used to feel very isolated. I used to feel very set apart from people I would meet. And again, it's about becoming more comfortable in your own skin so that others will be more comfortable with you, all right? So yes, if you believe certain things, people may think they're odd, but does their opinion really count for all that much? They don't live your life. You live it. So be content with your opinions and know that what you believe today is probably not what you'll believe tomorrow if you're growing and becoming more.
Candace, the Christian view of why we're here is to perfect ourselves to get to heaven. Your thoughts?
Well, my question to on that is, what comes after perfection? Nothing. Nothing comes after perfection. We are eternal beings. We cannot possibly be perfect because that implies an ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, and who gets to define perfect? If you try to live up to someone else's definition of perfect, you will always tap dance to their tune, and you will become, in essence, their slave.
Right, and you'll fall short of their expectations, no doubt.
Right, and you'll probably fall short of your own expectations. I mean, perfectionism is a real trap, and the kindest thing you can do for yourself and, incidentally, other people, is to let yourself off the perfection hook. Because if you let yourself off that perfection hook, guess what? You'll let other people off that perfection hook too. And perfectionists are very impossible to deal with because you can never be good enough. And the key now is to begin to recognize that, hey, you're you, and being imperfect is perfectly okay.
Why is it so important to tune in to the afterlife?
Well, I think it's important because the fear of death stalks everybody.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially in this culture, ignore it, deny it, don't want to deal with it, don't want to talk about it. And it's not helping them. But, you know, everybody goes through it. And if we have done some thinking and some studying and some growing and listening, then, A, it just benefits us. We're more emotionally prepared for the deaths of loved ones, and we're more emotionally prepared to face our own death. And interestingly enough, focusing on the afterlife, quote-unquote, often helps people live far more in the moment in this life because they realize and appreciate what a gift and opportunity this life is. I disagree that we are wasting time on Earth. We are on Earth because most of us chose to be here, and we're what seems like a waste is part of our unfolding. So to my way of thinking and believing, nothing is ever wasted. There are things we might be doing something more constructive with it, but nothing is ever wasted.
All right, let's go to Boise, Idaho now, west of the Rockies. Hello, Andrew. You're up with us.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
I sure.
My question was, okay, so I have a mixed episode bipolar disorder, right? And I have these dreams. It's common with this thing, but I have these dreams that it's like you have a longer duration of REM sleep. So my dreams, when I go to bed at night, I feel like I'm on an adventure, or I feel like I'm doing more than I am when I'm awake. But sometimes these dreams can be so vivid and so realistic and so detailed, so to the point that when I write them down, it's pages long, and I can actually read through it and pull stuff out of that. Last one I had, I pulled out a physics thing, actually, and I hadn't read a physics book for many years.
Huh. Einstein is trying to communicate with you.
Well, it was about time, is what it was about. And but are these dreams that I have, these dreams, could that be, should I be listening to these? Should I be more in tune to these dreams? I know people should be in tune to their dreams, but, these are wild.
What causes these wild dreams, Candace?
Well, I wouldn't be able to say specifically to you, Andrew, but I think if you're having dreams that obviously have a big impact on you and you're writing things down, yeah, go with the flow. And again, people think that they can't influence their dreams or they can't do anything about it, but I always think that you can ask, just simply ask, what does this dream mean to me? Why am I getting this information? Just ask it. And perhaps in your dreams or by some other method, you will begin to get some answers. You have a right to ask questions if anything pertains to you. Nothing is more personal than a dream. So, yes, I've had vivid dreams, too. To me, they usually pretended some change in my life, or they happened after I made a big change. There are ways that your spirit guides and your deeper parts of self can try to get in touch with your conscious mind. Now, I believe that you can do that in a different way, but that involves resolving some issues and removing some self-judgments, because one of the reasons we can't tap our deeper realms of consciousness is that it's divided and chopped up by self-judgment. It closes us off to ourselves. So dreams become the way by which things that are going on within the deeper parts of ourself become more noticeable to the conscious mind.
I believe our dream state, Candace, you can do incredible things.
Well, and yeah, and I believe that in dreams, the soul sort of lifts out of the body and goes on its adventures or works through things or just has a fun time or whatever it is. So, yeah, always pay attention to your dreams, especially if they're having, obviously, such an impact on you. That's something to pay heed on. And
sure,
again,
is.
Ask questions.
Let's go to our final caller of the night, first-time caller Verna in White Swan, Washington. Good morning, Verna.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Listening to you, I lost my sister 2 years ago. I was holding her hand when she died. Prior to her going, I took care of her. I kept seeing the number 222 on the clock all the time, this and that. Always seeing those numbers, 222. Well, that's the time she died. Now, yeah,
Simple.
Amazing. And every time I see that number, I'll look over and there it is on my clock. So I know she's there. Mm-hmm. Now, going into this dream thing you were talking about, I do that because, Candace, as you're saying, we live in this body in this three dimension in our world. I mean, we can't take that for granted.
you know, because we're here for a reason. I do believe that. And to go into your theta brain while you're awake is just like going there when you're dreaming. It's part of the meditating state. Well, I went through a huge depression of losing my sister. I lost two sisters on my mother, and I held all three of them while they died. I'm the only one left. But my question to you, do you believe, I know I do believe there's life after death, and I believe in people. Like right now, I feel my sister, because when I called, it was busy, busy, busy. I said, I'm going to call one more time, Mary, and if I don't get through, that's that. And the phone started ringing.
Well, there you go. And we've only got about 20 seconds left. So, Candace, really quickly, difficult to give the kind of answer you need in that kind of time, but it's real, isn't it?
It is to me. And if it's real to you, your feelings are valid, Verna. So, yeah, I celebrate it. I believe it's real.
Candace, good luck. Where do you get your book, Afterlife Healing Circle? Where's it available?
It is available, obviously, online and through bookstores. You can order it. So it's available. Just ask.
Okay, you got it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.